Hello, and welcome to Nakayomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Keshet Star, and today we're going to be learning Tehillim Perek Samach Tet, Psalms chapter 69. In this perek, we're going to explore a more difficult theme, but one that runs throughout Tehillim, which is turning to Hashem in our times of deepest despair. In Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, we start with an unusual opening, L'minatzeach al Shoshanim leDavid, for the conductor on the Shoshanim of David. Shoshanim is the term for roses, and Rashi says that this refers to Israel, who are like a rose among the thorns as they live among the nations. The comparison of Bnei Yisrael to a rose is something we see throughout Tanakh, including very notably in Shir HaShirim, in the Song of Songs, where it's written, as a rose among the thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters. The Zohar adds some interesting comparisons between the rose and the Jewish people, noting that just as a rose has 13 petals, the Jewish people have 13 paths to mercy, and also that the combination of red and white that comes through in the coloration of a rose indicates the tension between justice and mercy that we see throughout Jewish history, and which, of course, we've been discussing in the previous parakim. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, continues with a desperate plea to God. Hoshieni Elokim ki ba'umayim ad ha-nefesh. Save me, Hashem, for water has come up to my nefesh. So what does that mean? Nefesh is generally translated as soul. On a simple translation, this refers to physical danger. The water is rising, and it's reaching a fatal height. Rashi interprets this allegorically, saying that the water refers to the nations who come up, sort of rise up against the Jewish people. However, the term nefesh can also imply a more spiritual or emotional struggle, not necessarily someone at physical risk, but someone saying, I can't do it anymore. I'm hitting my limit. I can't take it. And I want to pull back here for a moment and highlight what this perek is doing, which I think is so critical to what Tehillim can accomplish and can do for us in our lives in a broader sense. In many aspects of our culture today, and I think particularly this is an issue on social media, it's natural to only focus on the good. Look at my beautiful house. Look at my beautiful kids. Look at this delicious cake that I made. And yet, we also know that real life is never quite that simple. And trust me, even the Instagram perfect images don't necessarily look that way without some strategic cropping and filtering. Susan Davis, a psychologist at the Harvard Medical School, writes in her book, Emotional Agility, about the dangers of false positivity. In a survey Davis conducted, which she describes in her book, one-third of respondents reported judging themselves for even having negative feelings at all. So before people are dealing with their loss or their grief and their sadness, they are first feeling guilty and like something's wrong with them for having those emotions. Davis describes this problem as a tyranny of positivity, where we really lack a space in our culture to deal with difficult and negative emotions. When it comes to Tehillim, to the Psalms, we have no such over-positivity problem. In Prakim just like this one, David wrestles with deep negative emotions, not just, you know, I'm having a bit of a rough day, but true grief, loss, and despair. And what Tehillim can offer us in the modern world is a language of pain and suffering. Our lives today may involve very different challenges than in David's time, but we too struggle. We too experience grief and loss. Tehillim shows us that this is a part of life. We will not always be at the top. Sometimes we're going to be at the bottom. We will experience joy and satisfaction and success, but we'll also experience sadness and failure. And what Tehillim really shows us ultimately is that as difficult as these experiences are, they can actually be a powerful conduit for us to connect with God. In this pasuk, the speaker is at the end of their rope. They are literally or figuratively drowning in grief and suffering. And in that desperate moment, there is no one to turn to but God. And truly, the connection that we forge with God in these difficult circumstances can build a much more deeper and more intimate connection. The next pasuk keeps us in this moment of desperation. I have sunk in muddy depths, pasuk Gimel tells us, and there is nowhere to stand. I have come to the deep water, and the current is sweeping me away. According to Rashi, the muddy depths are sort of the mire, this deep mud that sort of catches you and is hard to escape from. The current represents the strength of the river. If you've ever seen a movie with some sort of a natural disaster involving water, you know, a good tsunami movie, imagine that image of just this wall of water coming at you and there's nothing you can do. That's sort of the desperation as well as the powerlessness that the speaker here is feeling. It's also interesting to note that it's significant that all these descriptions involve water. Throughout Tanakh, water is a symbol of chaos in many situations, as we see all the way back in the second verse of the entire Torah, which describes the tohu vavohu, this sort of chaos and nothingness that characterized the world pre-creation when the world was covered in water. So the use of water metaphors here really increases this sort of sense of panic and loss of control. The desperate moment David is illustrating continues to be fleshed out as the parak goes on. Yagati bikari nichar gironi kalu einai miachal elokai. I have become weary from calling out. My throat has become parched. My eyes fail as I wait for my God. Rashi says here that the speaker's throat is dry and parched as if they're wandering in a desert. And the language here is this sort of long, drawn-out hope. I'm waiting and my eyes are failing. I can't keep them open anymore. At some point in all of our lives, we've experienced this kind of emotion that we're out of time, we're out of energy, we're out of hope, and yet still we wait. And it's this moment that this Tehillim, this parak, is really focusing on. The parak then shifts to discussing enemies. And these are not the sort of meta-enemies we've been discussing in the previous prakim, but this seems more personal, more like a personal betrayal. Those who hate me for nothing are more numerous than the hairs on my head, David tells us. Mighty are those who would cut me off, who are my enemies because of lies. There's sort of this sense here that it's me against the world. David's on one side, everyone else is on the other. Rashi explains the lies piece to mean that the enemies are evildoers and they want David to join in, but he's refusing to do so. He's standing for truth, and this pits him against them. In Pasuk Zion, we hear a plea to Hashem not to let those who hope for you be shamed through me. Let not those who seek you be disgraced through me. Here, the psalmist is sort of making an argument to God. If you abandon me now in the hour of my desperate need, when the water is up to my head, what is that going to say to all the people who hope and trust in you? And Rashi echoes this, that if God doesn't save David now, everyone's going to say, oh, look at that guy over there. He trusted God and see where that got him. Further on in Pasuk Yadalid, David asks that his prayer to Hashem should be at an eight retzon, at an acceptable or auspicious time. But what does that timing mean, right? After all, God is not like a human person with a very packed Google calendar that you have to squish into. The Or HaChaim explains here that there are four conditions needed for prayer to be fully received. First, you have to pray, he says, like a poor man begging for bread, with sincerity and humility. Second, the prayer must address God as the source of mercy. Who are we praying to? Third, the prayer must be timely. And fourth, it must be specific. And so one way to think about this is that this pasuk is really encouraging us to take prayer seriously. That it's not something we sort of casually call out, even though we can connect to God in casual moments and sort of impromptu communication, that we want to really approach prayer as a practice with intentionality, with focus, with the right mindset, and with the right timing. As we come to the end of the parak, we again see desperate pleas for assistance from God in the middle of this unbearable situation. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18 reads, "V'altasir panecha mi'avdecha, ki tsar li maher anini." Do not hide your face from your servant Hashem, because I am in distress. Answer me quickly. Then in Pasuk Yotet, verse 19, "Karval anafshi ge'ala, come close to my soul and redeem it." Rashi understands this idea of come close to my soul as meaning come close to me, be here with me. And the term ge'ala comes from the word ge'ula or redemption, which is a highly evocative and symbolic term in Judaism. Just as the speaker of this Tehillim is begging for redemption. Save me, Hashem. So too, we as a nation are begging God to save and redeem us with the ultimate geula, with the final redemption. With this single word, this term of geula, we get a glimpse into the larger story folded into the micro story of this perek. As human beings who struggle and feel loss and despair, we can connect with the figure in this Tehillim who is desperate and lost. But we can also realize that this is part of a bigger story where we as a nation have struggled, have experienced enormous grief, and we felt pushed to the edge of our survival. We've seen our enemies mount against us, and we turn to Hashem to save and redeem us. Despite the heavy grief and pain conveyed in this perek, we end on a note of optimism. Ki shomea el evyonim Hashem, pasuk lamed dalet, verse 34 tells us, Hashem hearkens to the needy. And finally, in the last pasuk of the perek, the zera of Dav yinchulaha and the seed of Hashem's servants will inherit the land of Ahavei Shemo Yishkenuba, and those who love his name will dwell there. What this perek, and truly all of Tehillim, remind us is that we are living in the real world. And in the real world, there will be difficulty and suffering and loss. But if we can use those painful experiences to connect with Hashem, we can move closer towards the ultimate redemption, that eternal reunion between Hashem and his people. And most of all, this perek comes as a reminder that even in our darkest, saddest, most isolated moments, we are not alone because Hashem is with us. Thank you for learning with us, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.